are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening and welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, January 25th. And the Pistons getting their first looks at Luka and maybe their last looks at Dirk this week. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Appreciate you guys spreading the word about the podcast. Today we're going to talk to Brian Zillum of the Blue Hardwood Podcast about the Dallas Mavericks, tonight's opponent. Also, we're going to hear from you guys, the listeners, from the Google Voice line. Got some voicemails to share today. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. But today, the Pistons at 21-26, one game and a half out of the Eastern Conference playoffs, will be playing at Dallas at 8:30 p.m. tonight. For Detroit, the rest of the week includes tonight's game at Dallas and then back home for four, starting on Tuesday against the Milwaukee Bucks, on Thursday against Dallas at home, and then a matinee on Saturday afternoon for Blake Griffin's former team, the LA Clippers, and then closing the homestand out on Monday night with the Denver Nuggets coming to town. So a tough trip at home, I guess, for the Pistons to have a lot of teams waiting for them that are going to be real good players. I didn't see a betting line from tonight's game because of Andre Drummond, but he's probable to come back with the concussion protocol. Game time decisions along with Ish Smith and Henry Ellenson for Dallas, pretty much healthy other than J.J. Barea, whose career might be over because of the Achilles injury that he suffered this year. The Puerto Rican legend, so sad to see him go down like that. But like I said, no betting line there. The big news from the league was Thursday, the All-Star starters. And it looks like the league got it right. Maybe one kind of minor surprise was Kemba Walker getting the start in his hometown of Charlotte. So nice to see him get the recognition in the Eastern Conference, along with Kyrie Irving in the backcourt. And they're going to be teamed on the front court with Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's going to be the captain of one of the teams alongside LeBron James. But he'll be teamed on the front court with Kawhi Leonard and Joel Embiid. So nice picks there by the Eastern Conference voters. And out west, you got a lot of the usual suspects there with Steph Curry and James Harden. No-brainers from the Western Conference backcourt. And then you got Kevin Durant, Paul George, and LeBron James. So some guys like Nikola Jokic left off, Anthony Davis as well. And then the Eastern Conference, Blake Griffin might be one of the bigger snubs, although it's to be expected, certainly three deserving guys on the front court there. And in the backcourt, a tough call for that second pick in the backcourt. Victor Oladipo certainly had a chance, and we know that he won't be playing in the All-Star game because of his injury. But certainly we expect Blake Griffin to become one of the reserves as they name those next week, and we will see on that. And maybe even an outside chance for Andre Drummond, although I don't expect that to happen for him for a third time this year with the All-Star game. But maybe if there are some more injuries, maybe he gets a nod there in the front court as well. But we're going to get right into it with Brian Zillum of the Blue Hardwood Podcast here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So here's my interview with him.
Brian, thanks for taking the time to join
Matt,
us.
Matt, always a pleasure, my friend.
Yeah, we just chatted on your podcast, so we're going over a lot of the same topics here. But let's start with the big news of the last couple of weeks with the Dallas Mavericks. About 10 days ago or so, the news from Woj that the floodgates are open for the Dennis Smith Jr. trade conversations. And it's kind of died down nationally since then. So what's kind of been happening since then? And is there a chance that Dennis Smith Jr. is on the Mavericks after the deadline here in a couple of weeks?
Man, so around Sunday, there was a supposed conversation that took place over the phone between Carlisle, DSJ. From reports from Shams, there was a understanding that Carlisle apologized for, I guess, whatever DSJ thought he did wrong, handled it, anything, whatever. And then after that, he was back practicing. He played, basically, he didn't play the game on Monday when he didn't travel with the team over the weekend, obviously, but he did play the game on Tuesday when the Mavericks played the Clippers. It was second night of the back-to-back. So he returned. He had an all right game. I mean, shooting wise, he wasn't very great, but he helped the Mavericks to a win. Personally, Matt, I feel like this is a 21-year-old kid getting some bad career advice. I'm sure you saw some here on social media. Anytime there was a mention of a trade on Instagram or Twitter, he would click the like button, which is just, it hurts my head. I mean, maybe this is me being an old man, get off my lawn type of thing. And just like, why would you do that? These kids, these days, right? Man, these kids. But I feel like he was getting some bad career advice from his agent. That's just me personally. How everything was handled and addressed. If this was how he was feeling, it could have been done a little bit more quietly. Where if he wanted out, they could have just done this within the last week, and where the Mavericks had leverage, which some people don't understand, or those who don't follow the situation. When Woj dropped the Woj bomb saying the Mavericks are escalating the situation, that loses all of your leverage, where you're going to get 2 cents on the dollar. That does the Mavericks no good. And, you know, as of right now, you know, it seems like both parties are kind of maybe kiss and make up kind of thing, where they're kind of just okay with each other, and then they understand the end game, where it's like, okay, I got to showcase a little bit more. DSJ realizes he's actually got to go out there and play and show some value if and when he's going to get traded, whether it be now, before the deadline, or even during the summer. He realized his stock is not that high right now. He's got to get that back up. And then the Mavericks, to their credit, during this entire process, they did not throw him under the bus one time, even though there was instances where he had a stomach bug, quote unquote, and then he was seen later in the day at a restaurant, and a fan ended up actually tagging him on Twitter and saying, oh, he was such a nice guy, I'm glad I had to meet him. It just, the entire situation was, it put a bad taste in my mouth, and I just think at some point you'll probably have to move on from this, just because I look at it like, okay, so him and Carlisle are maybe good right now, but I'm sure the teammates weren't on board on how he handled it. And believe it or not, Luka made a very strong post-game comment. And I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was something to agree is like, it was a bad situation. It was bad for bad for him, bad for the team. And I was really glad there was no sugarcoating. He was very just straightforward and said, this was a crappy situation.
Well, like you said, something that's not a crappy situation is the rookie point guard as opposed to the second-year point guard, I guess, and that's Luka Doncic, like you mentioned, and a lot of the listeners here on Locked On Pistons probably have hardly or maybe never have seen him play, as the Mavericks aren't exactly a team that's on TNT or ESPN all that much. But so what's the Luka Doncic experience been like for someone who's watching it every day, and what can fans expect to see with the Mavericks stars tonight?
I'm blown away, Matt. I'm just blown away on how good this kid is. A lot of people throughout the draft said this kid right here was going to be the best player in this draft in 2018, and he's just blown doors off everything. He has this sneaky athleticism where, people don't take him for granted as far as his speed is concerned, because he'll go coast to coast on you really quick, where he'll get the defensive rebound and he'll just go. And then people were just like, whoa, I didn't think he was that fast. So he's very deceptive, where he's athletic enough where people don't give him enough cred, because he will still just slice and dice and do all these crazy things. Once he gets a rebound, it's a pleasure to watch it, without a doubt. And then, you're seeing him grow. Start of the season, obviously, Mavs started off really rough. They were 2-7, and then they flipped the script, and then they were 7-2, and they got about four games above 500. And then just Luka mania was just going wild, where he was just hitting all these crazy step back threes, where I feel like he's padding that now. He's had these moments where, he realizes, and the team realizes, he's the best player on the game, where he's just going to say, we're not losing this game. He's going to put the team on his back, and whether it's shooting a step back three or just going to the rack, he's going to just do something that just blow. There's probably going to be at least two or three times where he does something where it's just like, how in the heck did he do that? He just, his vision, his court vision is just deadly. I feel like he's a quarterback of the NBA, where he just, I don't understand how he finds anybody. And then when he finds somebody, it's a dart, and it's like a thing of beauty. I made a joke on social media the other day, Matt. We as Dallas fans don't deserve Luka. We really don't, as much as I know. I mean, straight on,
we deserve him. Bring him to Detroit.
Yeah, exactly. As much as Dallas has fiddled and farted around in the draft the past few years, they are just so lucky they've had this opportunity to land this kid. And some people criticize and ask why Phoenix and Sacramento didn't draft Luka. You know, they had their guys, and I got to give credit to the Mavericks for stepping up and grabbing this kid. Now, at the time, I wasn't very crazy about giving up the lottery pick or draft pick this year, potentially, depending on where Dallas finishes in the Western Conference. So it's, right now, it's looking like it's going to be a lottery pick, just because I was not a fan of giving up assets when you don't have any. But obviously, Luka's on the verge of maybe being an all-star this year, so it's potentially worth it. And just seeing he recorded his first triple-double the other day. He's actually the second youngest NBA player to record the a triple-double. Matt, do you know who the youngest is?
How about LeBron?
Markel Fultz.
Really? Markel Fultz. Wow, I did not know that.
Yes. Yeah, so
the next LeBron.
Yes, the next LeBron. But just seeing, I feel like the broadcast will show this highlight of Luka making, I believe he's already eclipsed the most threes, or he's pretty close to it. Most made threes as a Mavericks NBA rookie. He's doing all these extraordinary things. And when you look at his, you know, line, he's almost averaging 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 35% from three. So it's just like, you know, what else could you really ask for? Now, he's going to have that moment where maybe he has like an ill-advised pass, but I mean, that's just going to just come with what he does. But he's just a delight and joy. I shouldn't be, I guess, so negative sometimes in the franchise. I feel like we've got this present that we didn't deserve, so I do try to enjoy it as much as I can, as much as I yell at the franchise for what they're doing or handling a certain situation. We are so lucky. Potentially, we had the great 41 for 21 years, and now we've got potential predecessor. I don't know how you get more lucky than that.
Yes, sir!
Yeah, and you brought it up, number 41, obviously a legend that we've all enjoyed watching for all those years, and he's back in the lineup now, but not the player that we remember watching. And what is the situation with Dirk Nowitzki right now? And it looks like he's not getting a lot of run, but is it a little bit sad, or what's your kind of your emotions in watching Dirk play this year?
Sad. I don't know if that's the right word. It's just, I think, especially the way the year started, you know, Dirk was hurt, started training camp. And to me, that kind of gave the signal. It's like, uh-oh. And he was just, from what I've heard from the folks at, you know, media day that day, he was just struggling to kind of get around, walk around a little bit. And that was kind of concerning. You know, obviously Dirk is, to his credit, you know, 7-foot guy, and he stayed healthy relatively his entire career. I'm so happy he had the opportunity to get that record from Kobe. He really wanted to hit that same mark. 20 years on the same team. He's obviously got that now with 21 years on the belt. I don't think it's sad that he's not playing. I think it's going to be more of a situation where once he's done, man, I might actually literally sports cry, Matt. He has been the greatest thing in, not only probably, and to me, he's one of the greatest players in the NBA. Obviously, maybe I'm a little biased, but sue me. But he's just a great man, great human, very humble. I don't think the NBA is going to see another guy like this. And those in the Dallas, you know, MFFLs out there, and just people in the DFW, you really need to just take this guy in, because once he's gone, we're going to look around and be like, oh, Dirk's not here anymore. I'm really sad. Yeah, you should be, because this is probably the greatest player that this franchise has ever had. And man, he's just a great dude. Any interview, he's always just goofing around. And I'm gonna miss him when he's gone. And I truly think this is gonna be his last hurrah. I would highly recommend Pistons fans If you don't have anything going on next Thursday, if anything, I mean, you've got the opportunity to see Luka. But if anything, go for Dirk. If you really appreciate basketball and you've seen this guy the last 21 years, go see him one more time.
Yeah. Looking at your cap sheet here, not only are we jealous about Luka Doncic, obviously, but looking at a lot of expiring deals for the Dallas Mavericks this year, and your rookie contracts for guys like Jalen Brunson and Dennis Smith Jr. still under the rookie contract, Luka Doncic, and a couple player options that you would probably expect to get picked up by Barnes and Powell. But what do you kind of see as this summer? I mean, obviously the trade deadline is going to come and go here soon with maybe Dennis Smith Jr. getting moved. But what's the strategy in terms of building around Luka Doncic? What do you think is this summer looking like for them?
And that's a scary question, Matt, because I actually have no idea. Just because right now – well, no, look at this. So right now, as you're looking at the cap sheet, so guaranteed contracts. As of right now, there's only three players under guaranteed contracts coming into next year. Harrison Barnes has a player option. Dwight Powell has a player option. Everybody else, pretty much free to go. I mean, you've got big money coming off the books and Jordan potentially, Wes Matthews. You've got unrestricted free agents, Maxi Kleba, Dorian Finney-Smith, who are the Mavericks obviously want to keep and keep cheap. But if they keep on having moments when they're getting playing time and playing great, somebody's going to throw a little bit of money at them. So Dallas is going to have some decisions and to make whether how they want to go and handle. And it's even a little more of a slippery slope, especially since they don't have a first round pick potentially that foregoes to Atlanta via the Luka trade. So they don't really have an opportunity to do that. I don't know if they want to try to make a deal, maybe try to recoup some draft capital potentially. They've shown, ergo last year, they can draft a little bit when they actually give a crap. They found somebody like Jalen Brunson, who was a lower tier type of guy. They got in the mid 30s that everybody was like, why, they drafted way too high. But then, this is a guy who can actually start in this league and use some solid minutes. I think in a perfect world for me, I have realistic expectations, Matt, and anybody who's a Dallas Mavericks fan in general or follows the team thinking, hey, we've got this fancy new toy in Luka. They've got even a chance to have a meeting with one of these bigger fish this summer, whether it be Kawhi, Clay, KD, you are a fool. It's not happening. It never has. Let's look at realistic expectations. What a guy like Chris Middleton, that's a guy I foam in the mouth for, Matt. I would love to get him paired with Luka, like somebody of a size who can shoot and defend. That's the type of guy I want to pair with Luka long term. That's I feel like that's the guy, that's the price range that Dallas could go into. And if everybody's trying to make all these meetings and throw all these monies at let's say KD, Kawhi, Kyrie, potentially Jimmy Butler, those are the other big names potentially that could be free this year. Let's make a really realistic expectation and let's go not aim for the A, but let's go for like the B minus, like C plus type of players and kind of build around Luka like that. Because years past, Mavericks have gotten left at the altar way too many times, and then they have all this money where they have to just fill up a roster, and that's no fun.
Well, I'm count me as someone who thinks that an outside shot of one of those big time guys if they want it, just because Luka Doncic has got to be an enticing player to play with. Obviously, they got the cap room like we talked about. It could be an interesting offseason in Dallas, and we'll be interested to see how that shakes out. Chris Middleton, a former Detroit Pistons second round draft pick. I don't know if you are aware of that, but and he's also a swear word here on this podcast too. We don't like to talk about Chris Middleton. traded away for Brandon Jennings along with Brandon Knight. So that was a throw-in of a deal that ends up a fringe all-star in the Eastern Conference. So we do not like the Chris Middleton memory here in Detroit. But Brian Zillum, host of the Blue Hardwood podcast, tell us how to find you on social media and tell us a little bit about the show as well.
First and last name, Brian Zillum. If anybody wants to give me a follow and follow my Mavericks takes and NBA related information. The podcast is available at Blue Hardwood, straight up like that. The podcast has been actually about 6-7 months, I say. We're almost hitting, we're getting close to that year mark. It's been a wonderful opportunity. This is something I've just gone out on a limb and done with myself, and I really am passionate about basketball. Hopefully you guys heard that in my voice, and you know, reaching out to somebody like Matt has provided me an opportunity to be confident enough where it sounds like I know what I'm talking about, and hopefully I do. I'm a part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Shout out to you guys, and we've got a wonderful group of guys doing a lot of good things with our new network. We launched a new application, which you know, you can find a lot of different stuff on there, whether it be NBA, Dungeons and Dragons, wrestling. Pulse Podcast Network, if you want to look that up on your Google Play Store or Apple application.
Yeah. And if I have some listeners that want to reach out and get started on the ground floor on podcasting, I'm going to send them your way for some tips as well, because I know there's a lot of guys that want to get involved in it as well. And starting it from scratch, just like you guys did, is a nice story. And I'm glad to see you guys having success with it. And thanks again for spending some time with us here on Locked On Pistons.
Absolutely, Matt. Anytime, my friend.
Hey, Matt. This is Brandon Kastoff from Sterling Heights, Michigan. The team, as constructed right now, does not seem like a Dwayne Casey team, and that's why they're doing so bad and why they perform so much better under Stan Van Gundy, because they're a Stan Van Gundy team. So I don't know if trading for Mike Conley, Marc Gasol is going to make this a Dwayne Casey team either. I know he prioritizes defense, and really what, you know, Detroit Pistons team had in the past, hard playing players, defensive minded players, and I don't know, maybe some players that match the shot spectrum. Maybe Conley as well do match the shot spectrum that he wants to implore with this team.
Brandon, thanks for the call there. I pretty much agree, but like I said, maybe with Tom Gores wants to make a swing at the deadline and getting some big names in here. We know that's kind of his MO at times as the owner of the Detroit Pistons, and we will see what they do leading up to the February 7th trade deadline. But it sounds like Brandon kind of teaching patience and wants to kind of rebuild the roster over the next few years in a slower kind of conservative way. And like I said, that's probably what's going to end up happening with the Detroit Pistons front office here at the trade deadline. Next call.
Hey, Matt, this is Rizzo from Macomb. How are you? I just got done listening to your podcast, and I agree. I've been telling you on Twitter, this team needs to move Drummond. I think build around Blake. The reason I wouldn't move Blake is that I just don't think there's going to be a team that would give up as much as they would give up for Drummond. I don't know a team that would pick up Blake. And I have to respectfully disagree with you saying all four teams are in purgatory. I think the Wings and Tigers are at least making it clear they're rebuilding. Lions and Pistons, I agree, those two teams are in purgatory. And I think, unfortunately, there is no good answer for the Pistons right now. I don't think they're bad enough to get a top pick to get Zion Williamson. I don't think they're good enough to make a run in the playoffs, so I think it would be wise to move Drummond, maybe move Bullock. If you can get late first-round pick for Bullock, I would probably do it in a second. Thanks, man.
Hey, Matt. This is Breeshin, living in Philly, raised in Detroit. And just talk about your comments on the pod today. You're absolutely right. We've been waiting for Andre and Reggie to grow up, and they haven't. And they haven't. They're the same players they were when the Pistons made the playoffs 3 years ago. And really, even before that, they haven't adjusted. They haven't learned to grow with adversity. Every year the Pistons start out strong, teams figure them out, and they don't evolve. They don't change. They don't come back from injury better and improve their game. They haven't. They're the same guys. And the time for blind hope is over. So as far as trades goes, it's something I can't answer as a fan. Blake Griffin has proven he's a Detroit guy, and I believe even Casey has. So now we're building around Dwayne and Blake. And if a guy's coming in, is he a guy that's with those two, the coach and the marquee player? Because they've bought in, and anybody coming in has to be a guy who's going to buy in. And I don't know who those guys are. Peace.
Hey, Matt, this is Cameron down in Honduras. Just listened to your Thursday show on my morning run. In your segment, assessing Reggie Jackson and Andre Drummond, I think, was on point. We really saw Reggie Jackson's true colors in that post game. I know you said don't read a lot into it, but look, you got Blake Griffin, all-star, works hard, really is, as you said, very much so in line with the identity of this team. The Detroit Pistons has always been a blue-collar, hard-working, defense first, score later, type of squad. And you have Blake Griffin. He's exactly what we need as a team. He's exactly what we as the fan base love. And you got him, he's around, and this is funny, but you're around a bunch of Hollywood guys. You have a bunch of divas. You got Reggie Jackson, who just, you hit the nail on the head. He'll make one big shot and he's lost focus. He doesn't even get up court, when he needs to after he makes a shot because he's, you know, gyrating or having fun or dancing or something like that. And you got Andre Drummond, who during Blake's first few weeks with Detroit was in love because he said, oh my gosh, this guy's going to help me get the spotlight and help me become a spot up scorer. And what you've seen is a dramatic, decrease in, his field goal percentage because Andre Drummond is just not focused. He's got two jobs, okay? Defend and rebound. That's all he's got to do. And then everything will work. Andre and Reggie, they're not leaders. They're not what Blake is. Blake, you can argue, is not a leader himself. He's a strong co-pilot. But what the Pistons need to do, bring somebody on board who's going to be able to take this team, a Chauncey Billups type of individual, maybe Mike Conley, may it even be Marc Gasol. I was in Spain over the holidays, and they air every game where Marc Gasol or Jose Calderon play. I saw a lot of Pistons and saw a lot of Grizzlies games. And what they both showed me is that both those guys, may not be at the top of their game right now, but they're hard workers. And we can even consider bringing those Grizzly players that you talked about on the podcast the other day, Mike Conley or Marc Gasol, because we need strong players, we need smart players, we need people who are going to work hard and really give us Pistons fans what we deserve.
Thanks to all those guys for the calls. We got Brandon, we got Rizzo, we got Breeshin, and we got Cameron from Honduras. All over the Metro Detroit area, all over the country, and all over the world with the Pistons fans who are kind of feeling the malaise, getting a little uneasy about the fact that we've got a new beginning with a new front office, new coaching staff, new star of the team who's been here for just about a year now, almost the calendar day. I believe January 29th of last year was the deal with the Clippers, so for Blake Griffin. So we will see how this all transpires. And it starts again tonight with the Dallas Mavericks, the game on the road. Check that one out at 8:30, and I hope you guys have a great weekend. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying have a good one. We'll talk to you soon, everyone.